Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WTWS.com or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Friday. We made it to the end of the week. Glad you're with us on A Penny for Your Thoughts today. It's been a very busy week. Several good guests, lots of good phone calls and conversation and emails and texts from all of you. So it has been a lot of fun, and we wrap it up today as we head into the weekend. A couple of things to talk about. One is the Winter Olympics are underway. You heard that from CBS News. David Woods is going to join us in the second hour. He was a gentleman who used to work here at the News Gazette. He's been over in Indy with the Indianapolis Star, but he also covers, among other things, the Olympics. So we'll just kind of get a preview of what is could be the big storylines. Already the leaders of North and South Korea being together, or at least the family members of each of those being together, certainly is a big story. But how will the Americans do? What are going to be the big stories that develop over the next week or two? I guess it's 2 weeks over in Korea. They are 15 hours ahead of us. So it is right now, it's Saturday morning, I believe, over in Korea, if I've got my timing right. So anyway, that's one of the things we'll cover today. Of course, Illini basketball last night. The Illini lose to Wisconsin. The Badgers sweep the season series this year up in Madison and in Champaign. We'll talk about some of that. Also a big gift yesterday, Stu Levenick, who was a captain in the mid-70s for Illinois football with a lead gift for the Performance Center. We'll hear from Stu Levenick in a little bit as well. Of course, a budget deal in Washington, D.C. They keep punting this thing further and further down the line. I knew when they said the deadline was February 8th a couple of weeks ago to get a deal done that they wouldn't make it. So here we are. It's the 9th, and I guess they had a brief shutdown, and now they've moved everything up to March 23rd on a budget deal in Washington. OSF with some news. We had some representatives on earlier this week, a little bit of news from them today as well. And a couple of gentlemen that I got to know over the years have passed away in the last week. We'll talk about those as we move along this morning here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. As always, the phone numbers are 356-9397. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Let's get it started here this morning with Joe. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. What's up with you?
Excuse my voice. I'm losing it. I'm kicking off with sports.
Yeah.
On the recruiting class for football, I was looking at the top players in the country, state of Illinois, basically. And, again, they're going anywhere but Illinois to play. And I know that the football program is building a new training I guess a facility by the stadium.
Right.
What is the answer to keeping good players from leaving Illinois? Is the training facility, do you think that's going to make an impact? Or why are players leaving the state of Illinois like they are, and Illinois just is not able to retain those good players? And I'm looking at our recruiting class again, and it's average at best. And we can't compete in the Big Ten with being last in the Big Ten for recruiting classes year after year. And I want your thoughts on that, on this training facility. If that, if you think that's going to make a little bit of an impact, or what exactly do we have to do to keep those players?
Well, facility.
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, facilities are a big part of it. I mean, it is. No other way to put it. It is an arms race. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. When you go around the Big Ten and you see different facilities, Minnesota's doing a great big new facility for their student athletes. Northwestern is in the process of finishing up. They're also renovating And that was part of the process of renovating the State Farm Center in the last few years. It's all part of it. It's a big part of it, true. Also, as far as the players leaving, you know, there have been Iowa, Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State. They all have come in recent years and picked off players from the suburbs or from different parts of the state of Illinois, where a lot of the talent is. And part of that just is winning games. I mean, winning does cure a lot of ills. If you just win some games on a consistent basis somewhat. And unfortunately, as we all know, I grew up here too, like everybody listening, or have been around a number of years, like everybody listening. It's been too inconsistent. You know, the only real stretch in recent years, in the last 35 or 40 years, consistent stretch, was late 80s, early 90s. John Makovic, several bowl games in a row, winning 7, 8, 9 games a year. We haven't had that. It's either been 10 wins or it's been 2 wins. It's been too much of the up and down, and I think that is part of it, just winning consistently, getting the facilities. It all needs to dovetail at the same time, and right now it hasn't happened, and Lovie Smith and his staff are very much aware they've got to work in the state of Illinois, the Chicago, St. Louis area, whatever they can do to get players from those regions, win some games. Other coaches, Ron Zook also, pulled some players from different places. Tim Beckman, when he was here, got players from Ohio. There's certainly different recruiting pipelines, whether it's Northern Virginia, where Regis Benn came from, or California. Mike White got several players out of California when he came. But obviously, your state has to be your base, and the coaching staff, they know that. But they also know you have to win. They kind of go together. I don't know how else to say it. Winning cures a lot of ills. And it just has to be more consistent. That's really the key. And Stu Levenick with his gift yesterday, $5 million towards the Players Student Athlete Performance Center, which will be built just east of the football stadium, is a big part of that. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So hopefully that kind of answers some of your questions. I believe Alan may be on the same tack here. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, Brian, yeah, pretty much so. What we need to change is a losing culture. And it's in football, it's in basketball now, it's been several years now. Last night was an extremely disappointing performance, in my opinion. Wisconsin has one of the weakest teams they've had in the last 10 years, and they've outplayed us pretty badly in both games. I thought as of a week ago that maybe we were only one player away from being pretty good. But last night brought it back to reality. We're playing, especially in the front court, we're playing with too many mid-major players trying to play in the big game. We're just not that talented. We're slow. We're unathletic. And it's not going to get any better. It's going to take at least 2 or 3 players. And Mark Smith has been a huge bust this year. And I don't know if Iowa's going to help a whole lot next year. You think he will, but we thought Mark Smith would this year. But that hasn't happened. If it hadn't been for Trent Frazier, I shudder to think how bad we would be.
Well, hopefully Iowa will be the real deal, and I think Mark's going to come on. I think he's going to be fine. But he is struggling. He's just going through a lot of stuff.
Well, he looks like a class 1A player trying to play in the Big Ten. I mean, he's got that deer in the headlights look, especially on defense.
Yep, confidence or lack thereof is a big part of it. But
yes, it is.
So, and there's a lot to learn at this level, but – yeah, and Wisconsin is, the way they play, you had two polar opposite styles. You know, Illinois leads the Big Ten basically in possessions per game. Wisconsin's last. And that style, I mean, the one style or the other is going to win out. And in these two games, it's been Wisconsin. This game was a much better game than the one up in Madison, but still not
enough. Well, yeah, but still, I never felt like we were going to win this, even though we tied it up. It seemed like we did everything we could. But on defense, you just knew we couldn't stop Happ or anybody else who was shooting three-pointers. Other teams would beat Wisconsin, but we sure can.
Yeah. Well, hopefully better times are ahead, Alan.
I hope.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Bye.
Trent Frazier last night, over 30 points. First player to do that for Illinois since Tracy Abrams in December of 2016. We'll take a break here. We're going to visit with someone very quickly. Josh Birnbaum, he was a young man who was with the Daily Illini years ago, and he covered the Illini wheelchair basketball program. He was kind of embedded with them and took a lot of neat photos. And we're going to get him on the air. He's signing a book that recently just came out from Illini Press, and we'll talk with him about the Illini Wheelchair Program and what he covered in a couple of years. They won a national title in 2008. For a few minutes, back to the open line, and I'm told that we will be visiting with Governor Bruce Rauner about 10 a.m. this morning. He's here to meet the editorial board, and I'm just told that he will be on the radio about 10 o'clock. We'll talk Olympics as well. So it got even busier here on a Friday. We're back with more after this on Penny for Your Thoughts. Penny for Your Thoughts this morning, 356-9397 on the phones. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357, or email us talk@wdws.com. Glad you're with us here on a Penny for Your Thoughts. I'd like to tell you about the Snooze products available at the Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop, 2007A South Neal Street in Champaign, right next to Scotty's Brewhouse. You can buy a mattress in a lot of places in town, but if you want to take a step up in quality and style when it comes to getting the sleep you need, the Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop on South Neal is the place to go. And it's got a spectacular showroom, attractive, lots of different sizes of beds and mattresses. Make sure you check all that out. Then find Christy. Christy is the bed expert in there. Also, Michael Klaus, Johnny Namoff, and Big Mike Namoff. Of course, you know those guys. But at Snooze, when you walk in, if you don't know, well, what kind of bed do I need? Well, they have a machine called the Reveal. It'll allow you to lay down, and that will show you your pressure points. So they know what kind of bed, what kind of mattress you need to get. You know, some of us need a soft mattress. Some need a hard mattress. Some are somewhere in between. You've heard all the different styles of mattresses. They can help match you up with the one that's best for you. And then they'll let you lay in the bed that they think will be best for you based on the Reveal machine. It'll show your pressure points. Then they'll start bringing you pillows to try. Does this work? Does that work? And it'll be a whole process there. It's not just lay down, oh, I like this bed, I'll buy it, you're out. It's just a great place to learn what you need to get a perfect night's sleep. They've got all kinds of things. Organic mattresses on hand, the highest premium quality and performance. Luxury sheets from cotton blend and tencel to French linen that'll wrap you in comfort and luxury. You got the Carbon Cool pillow, the industry-changing pillow that redefines staying cool all night. They've got scented pillows, lavender. I've got a pillow from them recently, and I've been sleeping terrific at night with this new pillow. So they've got other things besides pillows. Obviously, the mattresses, the pillows, the sheets. You go in there, check them out. They're open at 10 a.m. Monday through Saturday, Sunday at noon, 2007A South Neal Street by Harvest Market in Champaign, there by Scotty's Brewhouse. And go to yourbestsleepever.com to see their exceptional choices. I invite you to check them out. They're unlike any store you will find in town. 919, you can join us here on an open line here this morning. We're going to visit a couple minutes here with Josh Birnbaum. He's a young man who a few years ago was embedded with the Illini Wheelchair Basketball Program. Took a lot of great photos, and there's a new book out here recently that features a lot of those. Josh, how are you today?
Good. How are you, Brian?
Good. Well, this is quite a book. You sent me a copy, and just really a nice documentary, I guess, of what the wheelchair basketball team at Illinois, which is nationally known for all these years and the championships they've won. But you covered them for 2 or 3 years, right?
Yeah, I spent 3 years embedded with the team, and you're right, they're historic. They're the first collegiate basketball, wheelchair basketball team in the country, and they have continued that legacy to maintain kind of a winning legacy.
Now, Dr. Tim Nugent passed away here in the last year or two. He was certainly huge in bringing wheelchair basketball and everything with ADA and everything that went on with the university, kind of a pioneer in those areas, right?
Absolutely. He actually founded the first comprehensive program for individuals with disabilities at Illinois. And that included dorms they could live in and access. It included curb cuts. It included classes. And it included adapted athletics, wheelchair basketball, eventually wheelchair track, and other kinds of rehab programs for individuals who had probably acquired a lot of their disabilities either from coming back from the war. In 1945, his program was founded in 1948. They could have been born with a disability, but it was open to all with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And it's become one of the best programs in the country.
And you document in particular 2 or 3 years, but the 08 national championship team, right?
Yeah. They had a golden era team that year. They had some amazing seniors with a lot of experience, and then they had an incredible recruit class. And that combination led them to win the national championship for wheelchair basketball that year.
Tell us about the coach of the team, and he lets you have pretty much free access, right?
Yeah, Mike Frogley. He and I had a conversation about how I was going to cover the team, and he was very wary of being portrayed negatively in the media because oftentimes individuals with disabilities are portrayed in stigmatized ways. And so we had a great conversation, and I said that I wanted to look at these individuals as athletes and college students and share with people what their lives were like behind the scenes, not just on the court. And so I had almost full access for 3 years.
Yeah, just some amazing photography. They play a couple of games, the hands of one particular player just dirty from all the, you know, moving the wheelchair around to all the workouts they did using the ramps at Memorial Stadium, right, for training?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have practice every morning. They get real dirty and sweaty. I mean, just like the regular basketball team, they have training in the afternoon. They watch videos of all their games after the games and before playing that team again. They go through the same kind of training that the able-bodied men's basketball team goes through, and it's rigorous.
Well, Josh Birnbaum with us here for a couple more minutes. The reason we want to have you on, Josh, is you're going to be signing books, right? Coming up, is it tonight and tomorrow?
Correct. There's the last senior game tonight for the wheelchair basketball team at the Arc in Champaign, and I'll be there tonight from 6 to 9:30 and tomorrow from 4 to 7:30 signing books and talking with people and just enjoying the environment.
Mm-hmm. Can people buy a copy of the book there when you're there?
Yes, we will have books for sale, definitely.
Okay. Well, that's and I know a few years ago the Illinois men's basketball team, I think it was in 06, had, I remember, an event we had with the wheelchair basketball team, right? I know you've got some photos of that.
Yeah, that was the first annual Ultimate Basketball Challenge, and it pitted the able-bodied men's basketball team down in wheelchairs with the wheelchair team, and it was a great event. I think they had about 500 people, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, Josh, enjoy your stay. Do you still live around here? Do you have to come back, or where do you live now?
I live in Ohio now. Mm-hmm. I teach photography at Ohio University. But I've come out here for the weekend to visit old friends and see people and help share this story that the book documents.
All right. So what time, if people want to check out, what time should they come by tonight again?
Tonight, come by sometime between 6 and 9:30 to the Arc in Champaign. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow night, sometime between 4 and 7:30.
Okay. Hey, Josh, it's a terrific book. I invite people to check it out. It's called Dream Shot, Journey to a Wheelchair Basketball National Championship. And all kinds of great photography, Illinois wheelchair basketball, kind of the history with Dr. Nugent and everything that went on. So we'll look forward to it. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. I appreciate it. Josh Birnbaum, you can check that out over at the Arc coming up this evening. We're at 9:25 here on DWS. Let's see what else is going on from a national perspective, local and state news. We've got some national headlines. Let's see in Washington, D.C., the House narrowly passing a sweeping bipartisan budget accord that ended a hours-long government shutdown overnight, cleared a path for increases for both the Pentagon and domestic programs, 240 to 186. That's not quite so narrow, but it sends the $400 billion spending plan to President Trump, who tweeted this morning that he has signed it. So that's kind of the national news. Of course, watching the stock market, they had another big 1,000-point drop yesterday, and sounds like it's a correction. I mean, the thing rose so fast there for a couple of months. Seemed like, well, more than a couple of months, but it really shot upward in January, the first 5 weeks or so of the new year. So you had the correction there, a lot of people are telling me. Of course, yesterday, a big day over at the University of Illinois with Stu Levenick, who was executive with Caterpillar, played for Bob Blackman's teams in the mid-70s, and I caught up with him yesterday about his lead gift of $5 million towards the Performance Center for football.
You know, it's funny, you don't remember big games as much as you remember practices and funny things that happened, you know, with your teammates. I think what I really would remember most is just the great friendships I've made at that point in life, you're 20 years old, and today I've still got a group of friends all over the state of Illinois and around the country that were teammates and are still very close.
Yeah.
The main driver was to give back. Mm-hmm. I had a great experience down here. I really believe in the student-athlete experience. And Nancy and I wanted to make sure that that opportunity was sustained into the future for other kids that that came along. Why now? I think, as I mentioned, from the board of directors down through President Clean, Chancellor Jones, Josh Whitman, Lovie Smith, there is perfect alignment on the need for Illinois to be as successful in the athletic field as it is in the classroom.
Yep.
And that, to me, is a basic ingredient in success. It's a bit of an arms race, but as I looked at their plans, and I had no involvement in them other than to get a chance to see it, these are going to be very impressive. These are going to be first-class facilities, but they're also going to be prudent. They've done a good job in studying and best practices and benchmarking with other schools, and I think they're going to produce a product that's going to make us all very proud. Again, I'm confident we're on the right track, and it's going to produce the same results that benefited me over the many years. Well, it was really cool this afternoon. We had a chance to spend some time in the locker room with the players, and I had a chance to talk and dialogue with them a little bit. I had not been with the team, and it was just, for me, fun to get back and be among guys are going through the same experience that I went through years ago.
So Stu Levenick began his Illinois football career as a walk-on. He was named a team captain, offensive MVP in 1975, All-Big Ten honors as a senior, eventually drafted by the Baltimore Colts, as they were known then, back in 1976. Eventually went on to be an executive with Caterpillar, and it's part of the goal, of course, the gift putting the total of $20 million committed dollars towards the goal of $30 million for the Performance Center. So caught up with him. Good to visit with Stu Levenick yesterday. We'll take a quick break here, Ed. We'll come back, get you ready for some news headlines with Carol Verrell. Told the governor will be here in this room, this very room, around 10 a.m. We'll see if that time holds. And he's here meeting, I think, with the editorial board, and we're looking to have him on the radio, too. So we'll see how that develops. A busy Friday just got busier on Penny for Your Thoughts. Back with more of your phone calls. But quick break here on DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Welcome back. We are on A Penny for Your Thoughts, and we're kind of adjusting on the fly here today. We just got the word that Governor Rauner is scheduled to be on with us around 10 o'clock. We'll see if that's a firm 10 o'clock or it might float a little bit. David Woods is a gentleman who used to work at the News Gazette. We're going to have him come in a few minutes early. He's already here. We're going to talk about the Olympics. We'll do that before 10 o'clock. And then hopefully have Governor Rauner on a little after 10 or right around 10 o'clock. So we're just kind of going with the flow, as they say here today. A couple of sad notes. I just wanted to pass along of some couple of gentlemen I got to know over the years. And one was particular was a frequent caller to the Penny for Your Thoughts show with Jim Turpin. And I think he was even called into this show that since I've been hosting since early January. Bob Aller passed away earlier this week on Monday. Was active on the Illini Union Programming Board, WPGU. He developed a consuming passion for U of I athletics, got his JD from the University of Illinois College of Law in 1966. He opened the Aller Law Office, 52-year legal career as a trial attorney before the Illinois Supreme Court. He was before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. He was involved in the famous Dave Wilson case when he represented the Illinois quarterback back then against the Big Ten and the NCAA, appeared on national shows. Bob Aller passed away on Monday at the age of 77. And also, many on the U of I campus got to know this gentleman through the football team. Monsignor Gregory Ketchum passed away. Many on the U of I campus remembering died at the age of 50. He had been battling brain cancer, had been in hospice care since before the holidays. Funeral mass at 11 a.m. at St. Patrick Church of Myrna. Visitation Sunday 1 to 4. Funeral mass again 11 a.m. Monday, also at the church. And a second visitation on Tuesday from 9 to 11 at St. Peter's and Paul Church in Nauvoo. And there will be a procession to the Oakwood Cemetery in Hamilton. Another funeral mass at St. Mary Church in Hamilton for Monsignor Gregory Ketchum. So got to know him a little bit through the football team, and just sad to hear about both of those men. All right, we are at 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 3515-357. We'll have David Woods talk about the Olympics here a little earlier than planned because of the governor potentially being here. We know he's going to be here. We just don't know exactly when. And we'll try to work on the timing and figure it out as we go. Lee Cabuti's on the line. Hey, Lee, how are you?
Pretty good. When they asked Joanne how she's doing, she said still above the ground. So that's my answer.
You could say what Dave Downey always says, better than I deserve is what he always says.
There you go.
Yep.
I probably should have called. I wonder if Josh Burbaum knows what I'm about to tell you. I remember Tim, the wheelchair basketball used to practice and play in the university high school gym, very small gym at that time. And Tim Nugent called me and he said, Lee, could we? The point is, I'm trying to get across, they couldn't use Combs Gym because the wheels would mark up the floor. So can you imagine a university team could not use a university facility? So Tim Nugent called and asked me what we would charge for them to play their home games. They played about six home games in our gym. And I said, well, I'd have to go over and talk to Dr. Mullen. Well, Dr. Mullen was very sympathetic towards anybody with disabilities because I think his wife got one of the first PhDs given, I don't know what university, in teaching of special education. And she taught that when we really didn't even have a program. State didn't have a program. But anyway, so I asked Dr. Mullen about them using our gym. He said, what do you think? I said, well, they couldn't affect that old gym. And I said, I don't care if the wheels mark it up or not. We said, let them play. And I said, what do you want to charge them? He said, nothing. So I called Tim Nugent back, and for a couple of years, they played their home games in our gym. And one of the star players is a real good friend of mine, Tom Jones. Got time for me to say something about Tom
Jones?
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, we're talking about the same guy, right?
When Tom was a sophomore at Carbondale High School, he would broadcast from the Carbondale WCIL, would broadcast the Carbondale's games. And I remember he came to our gym, and the wheelchair wouldn't fit underneath this table. So we had some tables in the cafeteria. And I asked the janitor, oh, he said, we can't get it. I said, well, get a table out of there or I'll go get it. And so they got a higher table, and Tom could push his wheelchair underneath the table. Well, then when I got the job in Champaign, first guy called me was Harry Combs to compliment me and tell me what a great school that was and so on. But Tom Jones was number two, and he said, Lee, if you ever need a favor, I remember what you did for me, give me a call. Could I say something about you?
Oh, sure.
When Larry Stewart left, I remember his favorite words when the game was over, about over at the end of the game. He would say, it's time to collect the songbooks. I guess that's what they do in church when church is about out.
Yep.
But anyway, when he went to church, that church that he went to. But anyway, when Larry left, I thought, God, how can they ever replace him? And so they hired Jim Turpin. Well, when he left, I thought, how in the world are they going to replace Jim Turpin? Well, when you leave, they're going to ask the same thing. How are you going to be replaced?
Wow.
You know, your job is especially, it's like a barber. A barber's got to know a lot about a lot of areas. And in your job, you got to know something about politics. You got to know something about medicine. You got to know something about sports because you don't know who's going to call. And the same way with the barber, they don't know who's going to get a haircut, so they got to be very knowledgeable. Well, anyway, you'll be hard to replace when it comes time.
Well, thank you, Lee, and that's a great comparison to a barber. I haven't thought about that one before.
Yeah. You know, one other thing about Tom Jones, people
yes.
might wonder how he became a paraplegic. He was riding on the back of a tricycle, and it's one of the bigger tricycles, and somebody shot at him from an upstairs window. And the bullet went through Tom Jones' back and, of course, shattered his spinal cord. And that's how he became a paraplegic. And but he didn't let that hinder him. I think he ran sports at WCIA at one time.
Yep.
And he started that league
Yep.
I remember going over there one time, and it's amazing what some of those people with some kind of handicap, what they can do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So he was a very active person and a real good friend of mine.
Well, I used to watch him, and I'm so glad he became a friend. I got to know him through the Kiwanis Tom Jones Challenger League. I've been helping coach there for many years. Tom was a visionary in that regard. So,
but he was very young. He was already covering sports and a very talented individual.
Yes,
well, thanks for listening to me.
Thank you, Lee.
You bet.
Great to hear from you. We go from Lee to Carl. We'll get David Woods in here next, talk Olympics. Go ahead, Carl.
Okay, Brian, since we've been talking about wheelchair athletics.
Yes.
As you know, I wrote a blog about why the wheelchair athletes ought to be in the Illinois Sports Hall of Fame. And so I just wanted to point out that all the athletes have letters, varsity letters from Illinois, and that in 1980, the athlete of the year at Illinois was Sharon Ron Hendricks now, who was a wheelchair athlete.
Is that right? Well, that's good information, and, you know, hopefully, I don't know if you're going to try to make it out for that event the next day or two, but it's a pretty cool event that Josh is at, and he's going to be signing that book, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, well, good job on the game last night.
Well, I tried. I tried to get a win, and I came up short, but I'm going to keep trying, Carl.
Well, it's not up to you for them to win.
I know.
You just got to describe what they're doing.
That's right. But I try to pull them across the finish line where I can. So, all right.
Okay.
Thank you, Carl.
All righty.
Need a break. We'll come back. David Woods will join us. We'll talk a little Olympics here. Got a couple of emails to get to as well. And Governor of Illinois here at some point in the 10 o'clock hour. And what we'll do is when we get the governor, we'll talk to him. We'll just open it up, though, for open line until before or after we get him on the air. We'll do that. How about that? Back in a moment. All right, we are back on Penny for Your Thoughts, and as you have to do from time to time with live radio, we're moving things around a little bit. David Woods has jumped in the studio with me here. He was with the News Gazette for how many years?
Total of 18, one stint of 10 and one of 8.
Wow, two different stints.
Yes.
Wow, and now you're over in Indianapolis?
Yes, been there since 1994.
Yeah, and you cover Butler, among other things.
Yeah,
right?
Butler basketball and the Olympic sports really are my two passions in journalism.
Well, the reason we wanted to have you on, and we were going to originally do this in the second hour, but we've got the governor coming, and you were here, and I thought, well, shoot, he's just sitting out there. Let's go ahead and jump on and talk about the Winter Olympics, which I guess have already started over in Pyeongchang, South Korea. They're 15 hours ahead, but we'll see the Olympic ceremonies tonight on TV, right?
Yeah, they'll be rebroadcast. They've actually, I think, just probably wrapped them up live, but with the 15-hour time difference for Champaign-Urbana, it's a little weird. But I'll watch it. I'll probably have it on all the time that I'm not doing something.
So, what's your favorite sport in the Winter Olympics?
Well, I have to say I am partial to speed skating. Having covered Bonnie Blair back in the 90s and following her career, but the one Winter Olympics I did go to was Salt Lake City in 2002, and I really loved the alpine skiing, and I think the thing that struck me that I didn't realize watching on TV, because actually a fair amount of skiing is shown on TV. They show some of the World Cup circuit. I don't see evident from TV how dangerous it is. I came away from that realizing that alpine skiing is more dangerous than auto racing because they just don't have that kind of protection. And the first event I saw was called the Alpine Combined, which I love that event because that's sort of like the decathlon of skiing. It involves a downhill and two slaloms. But like the first five skiers who went to the crested the hill and got up, I mean, I just gulped. I looked at that and go, these people are nuts. I can't believe they even do this. But it was really visually striking, and but I guess that's kind of a traditionalist. Winter Olympics have had a lot more X Games type sports than they once did, but I think I'm partial to speed skating and skiing.
And everybody always, I guess, the glamour sport is the women's figure skating, right?
It is.
Isn't that considered the top draw?
It is. It is, and I think a couple of Russian skaters our figure to duel for the gold medal in that. Although you know, the three person team for the U.S., including a 18-year-old from California named Karen Chen, is certainly bear watching. But it's also a beautiful sport. And of the skating, I think my favorite sport is the pairs. Is the pairs event, and they call them the Shib Sibs, the Shibutani's brother and sister combination. That's a wonderful story too, and they bear watching as well.
We're visiting with David Woods. He writes over in Indianapolis. He covers the Olympics. He follows it very closely, and we're going to have him on today. We're going to have him on next Friday for a few minutes, midway through the games, and we'll have him on at the end to tell us what we just saw. So we'll kind of do it that way. But he knows a lot about this. We do have an Illinois connection, U of I connection, in the Winter Olympics to watch.
Yes, with Asia Evans, the former Illini shot putter, is on the is in bobsled, and I believe she won a bronze medal in Sochi 4 years ago. So that the Bobsled Federation, I think, has done a pretty good job of aggressively pursuing athletes in other sports, and with the kind of explosiveness required to get those sleds going at a high rate of speed, because that's almost everything. You know, what your start time is before you get on the track. I mean, the driving is important, but if you don't have a lot of speed built up at the top of the run, you're lost.
And that's where Asia comes in. She
exactly.
was, I think, a shot putter.
Very good shot putter, and it's also the event which people may recognize the name Lolo Jones, the Olympic hurdler, mm-hmm. Tried to make the team and did make the team for Sochi, but she was in the third sled. And I think if the U.S. had qualified three sleds, she would have made the team, but she just barely missed.
And Catherine Reuter is going to visit with us, too, kind of midway through the Olympics. She did not. She came close, but, of course, she's won medals before.
Yeah. I was really hoping she'd make the team, because even though I live in Indy now, I certainly followed the Champaign-Urbana sports news, and I just think that is such a tremendous legacy that Champaign-Urbana has in speed skating. So that'd have been terrific if she'd made the team.
All right, so I've got Eric on the line here. Eric, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back, Dan.
Well, thank you.
It was last time I saw you was my father and me in Salt Lake, I believe.
Oh, in Salt Lake City?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Well, we already have a storm already starting up before the gun goes off for skiing, and that's that flag bearer deal.
Yeah, some events do start before the formal opening ceremonies.
The flag bearer controversy, Dave.
Oh, the flag bearer. Yeah, it's kind of a controversy that's sort of an odd one. The Shawnee Davis, who I certainly, would have been a fine choice to carry the flag, tied in the voting with Aaron Hamlin. And by U.S. Olympic Committee rule, if you have a tie for that, they decide it by flipping a coin.
They try to re-vote. I sat on that panel because I was captain in '88, and we picked Nancy Swire 4 times to the Olympics. And coming back from having children, so she was pretty impressive. And I guess they took someone. I can't remember who did it. That's terrible of me.
So I didn't realize there was a process as to who gets to carry the flag.
Captains are elected by their team. Then some of their duties include, press conferences, stuff like that. Then it's about, the picking the flag bearer and who would give the oath and stuff like that. And so we amongst ourselves pick our candidate, and then the captain takes that to the captain's meeting, and it's resolved then. So eight votes, it would be maybe the chef de mission should be there and do not the ninth vote or something. Then it wouldn't be as problematic as this was. I don't think there was a racial component in it. I think that's kind of disappointing on that level. And more disappointing is that Davis has decided not to participate in the opening ceremony, so he won't be seen tonight, I don't believe.
No, although I guess if he had not been chosen as the flag bearer, he wasn't going to go anyway because he's got a competition the next day. So he was going to go to the ceremony only if.
Pretty important. It was pretty important that he was still. I don't get that at all. I mean, I won't go unless I'm the point guard, but I will go, but I still have to race soon. So, you know, that doesn't hold a lot of water.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Eric.
All right. Well, hey, I know somebody else wanted in, so that's it.
All right.
You have a good Olympics, Dave. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. The other, I guess, big outside of the sports world story is the whole Korea, North Korea, South Korea. I guess they march together.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's terrific, and it is among the reasons why I think I love the Olympic Games so much. Is in a, you know, kind of a fractious world, it is a way that the world does come together. Now, you know, the Olympics have, you know, confront a lot of the problems that the entire world confronts with political tensions and you know, national divides and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But it is still, I mean, I think it's terrific. It is something where the whole world does come together in a peaceful manner for really some spectacular competition. And for all its flaws, I think the Olympic ideals are still important.
All right. What we'll do here, Ed, let's take a quick break. Do you want to stay in through the beginning of the next hour?
Sure.
And just talk some more about some of the big storylines to watch?
I'm always ready to talk about the Olympics,
we'll
Brian.
We'll do that. All right. We've got David Woods with us. We'll come back with more as we'll continue. We've got the governor of Illinois at some point in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll just kind of play that by ear. We've got the governor of the Olympics right here, David Woods. So we'll come back with more after this. All right. Welcome back. We are on A Penny for Your Thoughts. We're approaching the 10 o'clock hour. David Woods is with us here. We're talking about the Olympics, and we've got the governor in the building. I don't know if the governor is going to come on right now or he's going to go up to the editorial board first and come here, but we'll see what he does. David, this is live radio. We're just making it up as we go.
I think you're doing great.
So if they want to bring the governor in, that's fine, and we can get back to the Olympics maybe after the governor. Does that work?
That works
okay.
For me.
All right, I think the governor is here. Is he ready? Is he always ready? You can sit right there if you like. Brian Barnhart, good to see you. This is David Woods. We've been talking Olympics. So.
Honored to meet you.
Yeah.
You
can just have a seat there if you want.
All right.
And we'll just...
Do you put on earmuffs?
You don't have to if you don't want to.
Okay.
You know, don't mess up your hair. That's okay.
All three of them?
We'll just pull that down a little bit. Nothing like live radio here. So.
All right, this is real live.
Well,
jump right
welcome.
In.
Welcome. Welcome to our, this is our, I don't know if you ever in the old building, but this is our new studio.
I know, I haven't been in these new studios. These are pretty swank, pretty nice.
Now, did you ever do any radio?
I did.
Kind of a radio
voice. I did do radio in college. I raised, you know, made a little money to help pay for school by doing the radio news at night and a little bit of sports. I really enjoyed it.
So you did like it?
I love it, radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good to have you on. And so you're in town. You're here for the editorial board. Is that what
you're
doing?
Yeah, I'm
going to
meet with the editors from and some of the reporters here at the Champaign News Gazette and talk about this election and how we're going to get our state going the right way.
Yeah, you've been working on that now for hard to believe. Has it been a grind?
It's 3 years. You know, it's dog years. It's really like 21 years. But yeah, it's I love it. You know, I love Illinois. Illinois is home. My wife and I have raised 6 wonderful kids here. I've built businesses here. My best friends are here. I love Illinois, and this is such a great place. Great people, great education system, great location. We should be booming, but we've got a corrupt political machine that's dominated our state for decades, and we've got to take power away from them and give it back to the people of Illinois so we can have a better future, and that's what we're working to do, and we're making progress. It's tough, but we're making progress.
Well, the first thing is, as tends to happen, and this is politics, you've seen it now, you've got a challenger along the way, that obviously got to get through the primary first, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, that's right, and we take every election very seriously. We're going to win the primary, absolutely. Unfortunately, my opponent is really not electable. She's, you can see, she's run an ad that's very divisive and shameful, frankly. But she's also associated herself with some very bad people, Whittle and others, who are, you know, very bad. And then she's also been bad on taxes. I mean, she's the only member of the General Assembly, where she's been a representative for years, who voted against increasing our property tax exemption so we can bring down property taxes in Illinois. So we're going to win the primary. And then most importantly, I'm going to stay focused on the general election. We have got to win the general election in November, because if Pritzker, who's Madigan's hand-picked candidate for governor, if Pritzker were to get in, he would hand the governorship completely to Madigan, and Madigan is on a mission to control the redistricting, the remap after the 2020 census, as he's done for the last 20 years, gerrymander and rig our districts so we can't have competitive elections for people to compete for the vote. And they're also on a mission to raise the income tax in Illinois and go to what they call a progressive income tax. What it is a disaster income tax. They say it's a millionaire's tax. Let's just get rich people to pay more. Well, the reality is, look at every state where that's happened, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York. They can't balance their budget. They can't pay their pensions. And the middle class ends up paying a lot more. That graduated income tax would be a disaster, and I've got to fight that and block it as governor.
Yeah, Governor Rauner with us here for a few minutes. He's on his way up to meet with the editorial board. We thank him for stopping in here for a few minutes.
Yep.
Let me ask you about just the tenure that you've had as governor. There's been a lot of, obviously, tug of war going back and forth with what's going on in Springfield. They overrode your veto. They passed the tax increase. Where do we go from here as far as the budget, trying to get pension? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of bitter feelings on both sides from what happened.
Well, you know, the change has been very difficult, but we have to change direction. You're right. They overrode my veto and put in a big tax hike last summer. They also overrode my veto and passed an unbalanced budget again. We're still running a multi-billion dollar deficit. Our unpaid bills are still climbing, even after a massive income tax hike that I tried to block. This General Assembly, under Speaker Madigan's control, has spent us into oblivion for the last 35 years, always deficit spending, and that has to end. And what I'm advocating are common sense changes that have been done on a bipartisan basis in other states. Frankly, Democrats in other states have done what I've recommended that we do. Let's reform our pension system the way Rhode Island Democrats did. Let's reform our workers' comp system to cover ensure injured workers on the job the way Massachusetts Democrats did. Let's get term limits done the way California Democrats did. Let's get health care more affordable inside government the way Massachusetts Democrats did. Everything I've recommended has been done on a bipartisan basis with Democrats in other states. We should do that here, except we've got a corrupt politician running a machine out of Chicago named Mike Madigan. He's become wealthy from high property taxes. He's become a multimillionaire in a conflict of interest. We've got to get power away from him and give it back to the people of Illinois.
All right. Now, I don't know. We're going here as we go. How much time do you have? Do you want to take a couple of calls?
It's up to your editors. I've got, you know, I'm here to enjoy champagne, so whatever you guys say.
Okay. If we do take a couple of calls, we've got headphones there if you want
to
put those on. That's up to you.
We're making
it up as we go here. So, pleased to have the governor of Illinois to meet you in person. I did see you in Springfield. You came through when Illinois basketball played over in Springfield.
Yeah, that's right.
And you probably don't remember shaking my hand, but you came through along Press Row.
I love going to basketball games. I used to play some, and I've also been up here in Champaign a lot, going to both basketball and baseball. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Dave. You're on with the governor of Illinois. How about that?
Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, Governor. I supported you 4 years ago. I met you at the Hilton Garden Inn, and you know, my big problem with supporting you this primary, and why I'm going to vote for Ives, is you didn't veto the bill that allows abortion to be funded by taxpayers and all the way up to 9 months. And frankly, it's 9 months of pregnancy. And frankly, it's disturbing that you would not stick with your supposed conservative values and veto that bill.
Well,
all right.
How do you justify not vetoing that bill?
Let him answer that. Okay, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for your question. Your characterization of the bill is not accurate in terms of timing and some of the detail of it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there. But to be clear, I believe in a woman's right to decide. I said that during the election campaign 4 years ago. I also believe that a woman's income should not determine whether or not she has that right. That's it. That's why I signed the bill. The reality is, what we've got to do is come together and unite. We've got to come together and unite and win in November. And the way to unite and win is to have a plan and a message that brings Republicans together, Democrats who want reform as well as independent voters. And that message is, let's bring down our tax burden. Let's lower our property tax burden. Let's lower our income tax burden. Let's grow more good-paying jobs in Illinois by reducing the regulatory red tape and restrictions on our businesses, and also by helping the U of I expand, get to the U of I to help the U of I schools grow, especially the engineering school, to grow more good-paying jobs. And then let's end the corruption in Illinois by getting term limits down. It's a unifying message. With that message and that plan, we're going to win and get a new, better day for Illinois.
All right. We're here with Governor Bruce Rauner. You tell me when you need to go, okay?
We'll just keep going here.
Eric, hey, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Governor. I have a question for you. With casino revenue in Illinois is, I don't know if it's flatline or not, but the city of Chicago, why doesn't it have a casino with all that revenue going to Hammond, Indiana? I'm just curious why that's the case.
You have a great question there. I personally don't like gaming. I don't gamble, and I think it's a tax on people who often can't afford to pay that tax. That said, I believe in freedom of choice and freedom for local communities to run their communities as they see fit. And many people would like to expand gaming in the state of Illinois, and certainly we are losing major tax revenue to Indiana and Wisconsin and some of our bordering states because they've expanded gaming and we haven't. So I am supportive, as local communities would like to do it, supportive of allowing communities to choose for themselves how to compete and certainly get more tax revenue and expand our tax base in Illinois.
Okay, Eric?
Thank you.
All right, I told you we can take a couple more questions, and then we got one on the text line here, or caller, I guess. So will the map drawing case in Pennsylvania help Illinois?
Well, it might. There are lawsuits in Pennsylvania. There's actually a federal case out of Wisconsin. The reality is gerrymandering districts on a partisan basis really destroys democracy. It eats away at the core of having competitive general elections where candidates for office really have to earn the vote, and it locks in incumbents. It's wrong. Frankly, both parties do it around the country. In Illinois, Mike Madigan's done it to us for 20 years, and he's done it so terribly, destructively, that two-thirds of the races for the General Assembly last cycle, there was no opponent in the general election because it wasn't worth it for someone to try to compete in a district that was custom-drawn to look like a spaghetti noodle to lock in an incumbent. That is not good democracy. That's a corrupt system. Yeah. So what I've recommended that we do is two things. First, end the gerrymandering, and I can do that. When I win in November, I've got to win in November, I can have a voice in the redistricting, the new map that's drawn after the 2020 census. We need to have Republicans and Democrats drawing the map together to get a bipartisan map. That's essential. Mm-hmm. The other thing I've recommended is let's get term limits done. The Democrats have done it in California and many other states. It will end the self-dealing. People will run for office for the right reasons. They won't be there to be locked in for 30 years becoming rich from their political power. The most they could stay in is 8 years or so, maybe 10 years for a legislator. Let's get term limits done. Put it on the ballot. That's why we're asking every candidate for the General Assembly this cycle and every voter in Illinois, let's make this election about reformers coming in the General Assembly. Let's ask every candidate for the General Assembly sign a pledge, make a solemn promise to the people of Illinois. The first part of it is, I promise as a legislator to vote to put term limits on the ballot, because that's how the judges have said it can be done, is if the legislature puts it on the ballot. So promise to vote for it. And secondly, promise to vote for someone, anyone other than Mike Madigan to be speaker. There's no reason for him to be 35 years as speaker. There are many good Democrats who could be speaker, many good Republicans who could be speaker. Let someone else be speaker. Vote for someone, anyone else, so we can change that culture of self-dealing.
All right, one more caller here. We'll get to Liz on, and then we'll need to wrap it up here with the governor, let him get to the editorial board. Hi, Liz. How are you? We're on with Governor Rauner.
Oh, fine. Let's see. I really object to having to vote Republican or Democrat in the primaries. I'm independent, and I just would like to have the choice in the primaries.
Well, I respect your view. There are probably a number of people who might agree with you. But the reality is, from the earliest days of the founding of America, we've had a two-party system, and it's worked pretty well. It's not perfect. Democracy is
a little messy at times.
Democracy is deeply flawed, except compared to the alternatives. It's the best alternative there is, and I hear you on that. The important thing in Illinois is we've been a one party state. Mike Madigan has controlled the Democratic Party. He's controlled the General Assembly, and he's controlled property tax policy, and he's become a multimillionaire because he has a tax appeal law firm. It's a corrupt, rigged system, and what we need to do is not have a partisan fight this election. Let's bring Democrats and Republicans together, and let's elect reformers who will change the system and do what other states have done to grow jobs and cut taxes.
Okay, Liz?
Okay. I still wish we had a choice.
Well, we understand, yeah. Well, thank you, Liz.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
Have a
and,
good day.
Governor, you were a successful businessman. You got into politics. Donald Trump was a very successful businessman, got into politics. Your thoughts on, I know that not everybody agrees with one side or the other. Trump's pretty, he's a lightning rod, to say the least. Your thoughts on him and how it affects Illinois and just in general, I guess.
Well, you know, for me, this is a labor of love. I love Illinois. I was born here. I've lived here my whole life. And I am just passionate. And I'm a volunteer. I don't take any compensation. I don't take a pay or a pension. And what I did for 32 years before being recruited and asked to run for governor by the business community was I worked for teachers and law enforcement officers and public servants. I invested their pension money so they could have a better retirement. I did that and tremendously successfully. My partners and I generated phenomenal returns, more than double the stock market for 30 years, so that our teachers could have a better retirement. I made a lot of money along the way. I'm proud of it. I never apologize for it, but I'm giving it back. So my wife and I and our six kids, I told our six kids I'm going to be giving this away before I pass away. I'll say four of them are fine with that. Two of them are a little cranky about it, but you know, it's I believe, as the Bible says, to whom much has been given, from whom much is expected in return. I didn't inherit any money. My grandparents were dairy farmers. They lived in a trailer. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a proud union member. They worked hard, and they believed in hard work, the importance of an education, and giving back in the community. Those are the values I believe in. That's why I'm giving back to the state I love and the people I love here in Illinois. And we will prevail. It's hard. Change is difficult, but we need to change direction, give power back to the people of Illinois, and we will have a better future for our children and our grandchildren.
Yeah. Governor, you could be a talk show host, I think. Think about it. Huh?
Well, I love visiting with all the people of Illinois, and joining you was one of the great ways to do it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Great to be with you.
We appreciate it.
Well, have a good morning, and we'll see you again.
All right. Thank you. Governor Bruce Rauner. We'll come back with more after this on Penny for Your Thoughts. All right. Welcome back. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts. Appreciate the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner. I've shook his hand briefly before just because he was at a basketball game one time, but never really sat down with him. And it was nice to have him come by. He's on his way to meet with the editorial board at the News Gazette. They said he'd be here around 10, and by golly, he showed up right about 10 o'clock. So David Woods was with us, and now he's back because he just wanted to cover a couple more things with the Winter Olympics because they get underway today. But when the governor says they want on now, you move him in. So, David, good to have you back.
I'm delighted to be back, Brian.
Well, we talked about some of the storylines. What else do we need to kind of watch for, other storylines from the Olympics?
Well, you know, I think arguably the two greatest skiers, you know, male or female, in U.S. history are both in this Olympics. That's Lindsey Vonn, who I believe is now 33, and she was injured and missed the last Olympics, but she is on her way to setting the all-time record for World Cup wins, and she has been on a real hot streak lately on the World Cup circuit, and she may be known more to the general public as Tiger Woods' former girlfriend,
right?
But Lindsey Vonn is about the most decorated U.S. skier we've ever had, so she's very interesting. But Michaela Schifrin, who is, I believe, 21 or 22, but she is the rising star of the sport, and she has an astounding number of World Cup victories at a young age, and was an Olympic medalist 4 years ago in Sochi. And really, I would say probably those two athletes are the athletes I am most interested in the entire Winter Olympics, of how they do, with the possible exception, I have one Indiana athlete I follow. Indiana, not exactly a hotbed for
skiing,
for skiing or Olympic sports, but he's really interesting. His name is Nick Gepper. He's from Lawrenceburg, Indiana, which is just right outside Cincinnati. But he grew up on a there's a really a nice, I call it a ski resort, but a ski resort there, and he did what they call freestyle skiing. They're on rails, and they do jumps and tricks. And he actually saw it as an advantage because it's such a small run and not that far up the hill and not that many people. He was able to do run after run after run. So like when he was 12 or 13 years old, I mean, he's just doing it all the time. Mm. So you can make a case that he had more reps when he grew up in the mountains. But he was a bronze medalist as a part of a 1-2-3 American sweep in slope style in Sochi, and he's back for another medal. So those three, I'm those three athletes I'm interested in.
All right, I believe we have a caller for David here. Let's see. Is this Bruce? Hi, Bruce.
Good morning. I want to tell David Woods that it's great to have him on the phone, and I want him to know that Brian Barnhart in the Gazette should get him on staff after he retires from Indianapolis. He's one of the really great guys I've ever known, and he's one of the authorities on not only the Olympics, but more so for track and field. And I can't wait to ever talk to him. He knows more than anybody I know, track and field athletes, and he's a great person. So hire him when he retires from Indianapolis, okay?
Okay, well, if I had that kind of power, I would, but certainly.
Thanks, RBC, and the check is in the mail.
Okay, Dave, thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Yep, you got some fans out there, David Woods.
Bruce Carroll, he's a good friend of mine, and he's just one of the best.
10:22. We'll take another quick break. Welcome back. We are on Penny for Your Thoughts here on News Talk 1400. David Woods is with us. He wrote two different stints with the News Gazette. He's over with the Indy Star right now and covers the Olympics, among other sports. Covers Butler basketball as well. All right, a couple other stories, people to watch. Names that we don't know anything about now, we'll probably learn about pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure NBC is going to be all over the story of Chloe Kim, who is a snowboarder who grew up in California, but she was actually born in South Korea. I mean, that's just like an irresistible story. And what kind of makes it even more funny is she's gone on record as saying she doesn't really like snow. I guess if you grow up in California, you don't like, but she does like snowboarding and doing all these tricks. And I guess she's like a spectacular force of nature. And I'm sure watching her perform is going to be enthralling. And of course, the media loves her story. Someone who who's native South Korean and back in South Korea for the Winter Olympics. Her father's a great immigrant story. The way he built up a real estate business and kind of allowed her to take up this sport that became her passion and. Mm-hmm. So Chloe Kim is certainly somebody to watch as well.
Yeah. Pyeongchang is, I think, about 100 miles, I think, east-southeast of Seoul. Is that right? I think approximately where it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a train ride. I had one of my IndyStar photographer colleagues was flying into Seoul, and I think he said he had to take a train ride to Pyeongchang from there. And the speed, I think the speed skating the figure skating is at a few miles away even from that. But that's typical of a Winter Olympics, especially the venues are kind of spread out.
Yeah, I've heard it's been really cold. That was a problem here early, right?
Who knew? It's a Winter Olympics and it's cold.
Like really cold. They were worried about, I think, some of the opening ceremonies because it was going to be, I don't know, minus 10 or something
like that. And the last few Winter Olympics have actually, I think, been kind of unseasonably warm. It's been hard for them to keep the ice and snow to the quality they need it to be. So, my way of thinking is this is probably a good thing.
When did you first watch the Winter Olympics? Remember your first one? What captured your imagination, I guess, with it?
Oh, boy, I'm probably dating myself, but I think, and I'm kind of remember which one that is, but I remember the big hype over the reckless runs of French skier Jean-Claude Killy because he has a famous downhill run. But I mean, basically, he looked like he was like on the verge of death, you know, all the way down the hill. And get it on YouTube. Call up, put Jean-Claude Killy in YouTube and watch it. And I guarantee you, whether you're 8 years old or 80, you would think it was cool.
I remember the games. I think it was in Innsbruck, Austria. I think they had the games one year.
Yes.
Franz Klammer was a big name.
Yes.
The skier, that was one. Of course, the U.S. Olympic hockey team, everybody remembers that.
The Miracle on Ice.
The two of them. One in Squaw Valley and one in Lake Placid.
And the movie Miracle, which I have seen, was really quite good.
Mm-hmm. And the hockey now, this year a little different. The NHL is not providing players, right?
Yeah, I think about 75% of the U.S. team has played in the NHL at one time. In fact, there's one player who, I'm not sure how many years, I think he played in the Winter Olympics of 2006, but he's a 39-year-old, and he's on the team back in the Olympics 16 years later.
So why did the NHL get out?
I mean, yeah, the National Hockey decided they did not want to interrupt their season like that, and they couldn't come to an agreement, and I'm not really sure that it was in the best interest of the sport, but that's what they decided to do.
So people follow hockey. I know Dave Lone and our staff and so forth. Who's the favorite to win the gold in hockey? Do you know?
No, it's not really the U.S.
Sure.
It's not the U.S. Although, you know, maybe because it's such a it looks like Sweden and Russia are kind of co-favorites, but I think because of the uncertain nature of the teams, it may be kind of a fun tournament to watch. Because it could end up just being a free for all. I mean, who knows? These teams are all kind of come together. Oh, no NHL guys, huh? Well, we're gonna have these 39. U.S. probably has guys who are 19 and 39 on the same team. So it's cobbled together these teams, and it could be a really fun tournament.
Yeah. Well, David, we'll let you go. Thank you for all the information.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Brian. I love the Olympics. I'll have this even though I'm. College basketball season, I'm sure I'll have this on like all the time if I'm not doing something college basketball.
Well, certainly we'll look forward to your, if you can go online, read your stuff, I guess, in the Indy Star.
Yeah, IndyStar.com. Mostly Butler coverage right now, but a few other things.
All right, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll kind of get a mid-Olympic report.
I look forward to it.
Sounds good. Thank you, David. All right, a busy half hour. How about that? The governor of Illinois and David Woods talking Olympics here this half hour. Open line the rest of the way. Carol Varell will have news headlines for us next, and we'll come back open line to the top of the hour on Penny. Welcome back. Penny for your thoughts on a Friday. Brian Barnhart, and we've had a busy on-the-fly morning. Because we thought there was a chance that we were going to have the governor, but we really couldn't say until we knew for sure that he'd be willing to do it in the first place. And he did. So they told us, hey, he'll be here at 10, and if he showed up right about 10 o'clock. So we kind of rearranged the schedule. Had David Woods on a little earlier, and then after the governor, talking about the Winter Olympics. We talked about the Illini wheelchair basketball team a little bit. Had some good calls on that. So lots to talk about in those areas today. And now we have an open line here the rest of the way to close out the week. Next week, Monday morning quarterbacks, 9 and 10 a.m. We'll have an open line Tuesday at 9, on the money at 10. I'll broadcast from Bloomington, Indiana on Wednesday on Valentine's Day. We'll have a little Valentine's Day talk in the first hour, Jim Dye in the second hour, and then Thursday open line both 9 and 10, 10:30 Busey Money Talk, 9 a.m. Friday next week, a week from today, Nathan and Julie Gunn. You've probably heard of them. Really, really talented folks, and we'll tell you about them as we get closer to it. Very well known in this area from the U of I. Got an email, says the outcome of the games, basketball we're talking about, is almost always about the shooting. Happ and Frazier offset one another. Happ made 12 of 20 shots. Frazier made 10 of 20, several of those three-point baskets. He made 7. The rest of the Badgers made 13 out of 27, 48%. The rest of the Illini made 11 of 35, or 31%. Until we get better players who can get their own shot and make a reasonable percentage, will continue to lose most of the basketball games. Realistically, Robert says, Illinois is a golf and tennis school with at least competitive teams in baseball, softball, track, wrestling, and so forth. Watch those sports if you want good competition and less anxiety. That is from Robert. And CJ says, without the Chief, there's no Fighting Illini. The history and symbolism of the Chief is what makes it. Enough with the misleading spots. Talking about the U of I spots that you hear. On occasion, 10:39 here at DWS. Started the Winter Olympics today. We visited with David Woods about that. Talked with the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, ahead of the March primary. And then, of course, also visited with Josh Birnbaum in the first hour. Last night was a big night for Trent Frazier. You may have heard some of this last night. Frazier with a string of baskets at one point in the game last night. Black out top to Frazier. Nine to shoot. Seven. Six. Counting it down. Shoots a three. Got it. Oh, Trent Frazier. We got our own magic man out there, don't we? Frazier down the lane with a left hand and knifes his way through. Lays it in like a knife through soft butter. And the Badgers lead us three again, 49-46. Frazier to the other end. Left open for three. Got another one. Trent Frazier. He's ripping off some more points. Whoops it up to the crowd as he scrambles back defensively. He's up to 21. Smith dribbles on the right wing with seven out to Frazier. All looking at Trent. 4-3. Shoots a 25-foot throw. Oh. And he buried another one. And
stop it.
Trent does a little dance on his way to the other end. Frazier with 32 last night. Career high for him. Season high for an Illini. 13 and 11 rebounds for LaRon Black, but unfortunately needed some more help. And Brad Underwood talks about that and relying probably a little too much on Trent Frazier at the end of the ball game.
Trent's a really good player. Trent's a really high-level player, and he's got that speed and quickness, and he's going to continue to get better as he learns that to continually attack bigs on switches. As he continues to add a floater in his game, his speed and quickness is just, I think most coaches will tell you that they fear that more than anything is just that fear. And they made a nice little change, from the first game. We got a lot of rim runs the first game and they kept it very, very compact and tight. And again, when you go 2 for 13 outside of Trent, you got to make some shots. Kipper's under the weather and fighting a little sinus deal and didn't feel good, so he didn't feel like he could play. And he's a guy that we count on to help make some shots as well.
Yeah, with a guy like Frazier being out, you've got to think those guys have got to get to those spots. So when he starts to break people down, that he can kick out. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like some of our guys are watching instead of getting to that spot.
And I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of trying to play that way.
Yeah.
Playing the way we're playing, just giving it to Trent, letting him make a play. That's more an NBA game than it is, but it's sometimes our best option, our only option. And the paint is so bottled up and it's so congested. And until we start making shots consistently, we're going to continue to see that.
That's kind of what Robert was saying in his email a little earlier about getting some help for those guys, Trent Frazier and LaRon Black. That was post-game last night, in case you didn't stay up late to hear that. It was a pretty late night. All right, if you've had a collision, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair is the place to go. Mark it down, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair, full-service collision repair facility. They know having a car accident is a serious matter. Dave and Bill, they know the collision repair business inside and out. Dave spent many years as an insurance adjuster before returning to fixing cars, and Bill successfully ran body shops. So they kind of know the ins and outs of all of this, so the insurance side, the fixing the car, what to do, when to do it. You just hand them the keys, and they take care of it. They know what a hassle having your car repaired can be. Want to make this as painless a possible process as possible. Free estimates always offered. Conveniently and centrally located in Champaign-Urbana, the south side of I-74 between the Neal Street and Prospect exits. Visit their website at gallomiller.com. 217-353-0770 is how you reach them. And we'll come back with more Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line to the top of the hour. Your texts, phone calls, and emails on a busy Friday. Next. Welcome back to A Penny for Your Thoughts on this Friday, February the 9th. We'll come back on Monday with the Monday Morning Quarterback Show with Lauren Tate. Talked Olympics today. We talked with the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner. If you want to hear a podcast of that, you can go to WDWS.com to check that out. Today's birthday is today. Judith Light, remember her from Who's the Boss? Angela Bauer, she's 69. Joe Pesci, known as wise guy roles in movies like Goodfellas, and My Cousin Vinny is 75. Let's see here. This is the day in 1964 the Beatles made their first American TV appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show. And you may remember this. 19 ABC News announced it had settled a defamation lawsuit brought by General Motors over the fixed demonstration of a pickup truck crash explosion on Dateline NBC. And if you've seen the movie Bridge of Spies, and it's a good movie, I'd recommend you see it. Tom Hanks is in it. 1962, the Soviet Union exchanged captured American U-2 pilot Francis Gary Powers for a Soviet spy held by the U.S. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. We're at 1047, and that's where Bobby is today. Bobby, how are you today on this Friday?
Hey there, Jim. You had the judge on the other day.
Yeah.
There was another police shooting over there at, in California where he shot an innocent black man. And I want to ask the judge, we as citizens, do we have a right to protect ourselves from a radical police officer that may be threatening to the citizens? Well, do we have a right to protect ourselves? I wonder.
Well, that'd be a good question the next time he's on.
When he's on, I'm going to try to ask him that question. Then again, I want to ask Bruce Rauner.
Well, you had your chance there, Bobby.
Yeah, I did. I've been missing him. But anyway, I want to ask him, did he agree with the Republicans to vote to keep the government shut down by... Well, did he agree with the tax cuts that the Republican did that left the nation in over a trillion dollars, a trillion dollar deficit? And then I want to ask him, did he agree with the $400 billion in the spending bill that they passed? I just want to ask him.
Yeah,
what he
well,
says.
You missed him by about 25 minutes. But
I sure did. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate it. Let's talk about Busey's social media followers can enter to win in a familiar favorite new giveaway in 2018. You can connect with @Busey on Facebook, Twitter, participate in Fulfilling Dreams and Friday Freebie. Two exciting social media giveaways. Fulfilling Dreams is underway. Whether your dream is a college degree, a vacation getaway, or a home remodel, Busey wants to help you fulfill your dreams in 2018. And here you can enter to win a $1,500 Busey MasterCard gift card. Connect with @Busey on Facebook. Share your dream through a photo and a story. The dream with the most likes in our Facebook photo album will win a $1,500 Busey MasterCard gift card. One winner chosen monthly through December of 2018. For the rules, you can visit Busey.com/150. And then Friday Freebie returns March 23rd. You can guess the amount of cash and coin pictured on Facebook to enter to win a $100 digital gift card. First person to guess correctly or the closest guess that doesn't go over wins that gift card. Look for Friday Freebie March 23rd, June 22nd, August 3rd, and October 9th. And again, go to Busey.com/150. We're at 10:50. We'll take another break. Back here with some more thoughts for you towards the top of the hour. Been a busy Friday. We'll continue with more after this. Welcome back. Penny for your thoughts on a Friday. You can join us, 356-9397. We are at 10:52. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Covered a lot of ground this morning. Got a couple of little stories here to close out the week as we go along, but Richard's up next. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Brian. I was very disappointed to hear out of the governor's mouth his stand on abortion. I voted for him. He has been making good changes, but I thought about his comment about a woman's right to choose, and suddenly it hit me, and I'm not a fisherman. I don't think I've ever had a fishing license. I've got a few fishing reels, but I don't go fishing. But there are certain species that if you catch them and they're under a certain size, you have to release them. You cannot keep them. You can't eat them, even though they might make a little snack. And we are protecting a fish species because it's not fully developed. It looks like a fish, And I just cannot get how a man could rationalize that an infant, whatever the physical state it's in, whether it was just fertilized a week ago or whether it's a week away from coming to birth, how he can have that opinion. And I was embarrassed for him that he made reference to the Bible while he was on your show, Brian. Yeah. That's all I have to say. Just very disappointed.
Thank you, Richard. Well, thank I can you. Tell you that's the Republican Party. They, you know, the under Ronald Reagan, you had social conservatives. You had economic conservatives. Everybody was kind of under that tent. And then you've got, you know, different degrees, I guess, of conservatism and what you think about abortion and what you think about, different fiscal issues. And, you saw right there kind of the divide within the Republican Party itself. One of the reasons Jeannie Ives is running is because of that issue. There were a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives that were disappointed with the governor's signing of that bill. That, you kind of see the split within the party to this day, and probably see it in the primary coming up here in just over a month. All right, a couple of stories for you. This Friday, today, one of the best days of the year for Tim Tebow, the athlete and TV personality who preside over the 4th annual Night to Shine, a worldwide prom for people with special needs. For that night, those with mental and physical disabilities will be celebrated. They'll walk the red carpet dressed in tuxes and gowns. There'll be hair, makeup, and shoe shine stations. And, of course, dancing. This is something that Tim Tebow has been a part of. The event, hosted by 540 churches across the United States, as well as 16 different countries on 6 continents, more than 175,000 volunteers will welcome honored guests. And, yes, we have an event here. Tonight, February 9th, First Christian Church in Champaign is again the host church for the Night to Shine, sponsored by the Tim Tebow Foundation. So that is going to go on over at First Christian Church in Champaign. Interesting story from Milwaukee today here at 10:56. The rivalry between the Cubs and the Brewers might be baseball's most underrated. Doesn't have the history of the other great rivalries. Of course, their feud with the Cubs over the years. But that rivalry a little bit went up when in 2017 when Milwaukee surprisingly challenged Chicago for the crown for a good part of the summer. The fact that Chicago and Milwaukee are so close, of course, Wrigley Field North is what they call it. With that in mind, it's no wonder the Brewers are going to go to great lengths this season in an attempt to keep Cub fans from converging on Miller Park. As part of their plan, the Brewers announced a special presale for 2018 games against the Cubs that's limited to Wisconsin residents only. The thinking is clear, obviously, by limiting the early sales to Wisconsin residents for those Cubs games. It should increase the odds that Brewers fans and those tickets will get those tickets. In turn, they think that that'll keep Cubs fans from overtaking the ballpark. It's wise in theory, but there are no shortage of Cub fans who call Wisconsin home, so they may not accomplish what they set out, but they're going to try anyway. So special presale for 2018 games, Brewers against the Cubs in Milwaukee, limited to Wisconsin residents only. And the time has come to say goodbye to one of the classic Lucky Charms marshmallows. This is one of my favorite cereals. Since 2008, the yellow hourglass marshmallow has been included in every box. But come this spring, it'll officially be retired. This isn't the first time Lucky Charms has switched up the variety of shapes and colors. The original lineup debuted in 1963. You may remember the commercials, green clovers, pink hearts, orange stars, and yellow moons. Since then, only the pink heart has remained in the mix. The following shapes have all been used and then retired. Blue diamond, purple horseshoe, swirled whale, red balloon, rainbow, pot of gold, and shooting star. The hourglasses have been a part of Lucky Charms since 2008, says a representative for General Mills, but as with any hourglass, its time is up. As far as a replacement, you'll have to wait and see. Well, that's what they tell us. All right, that's pretty much all I have for today. Thanks to David Woods for being with us in two different segments today. Much like his stint at the News Gazette, it was in two different segments of years, but we'll have him on mid-Olympics and then at the very end just to kind of review what happened. But the Winter Olympics, of course, they'll give us the tape-delayed opening ceremonies tonight, courtesy of NBC, a guy I've gotten to know a little bit, Mike Tirico, a big part of the broadcast there from Pyeongchang in South Korea. Of course, as I mentioned, next week, Monday morning quarterbacks with Lauren Tate between 9 and 11. So we'll have the News Gazette columnist here with us for all these years in Monday and Tuesday, a busy weekend to review. Of course, Illinois and Penn State men play Sunday night at 6. Penn State, pretty good basketball team. They have played well this year, and they're the one team that's beaten Ohio State in Columbus on that bank shot from near midcourt. So that's a very good team that Pat Chambers has. So we'll bring you all that action coming up on Sunday night. Next week, open line on Tuesday on The Money. We'll visit with you from Bloomington, Indiana, across the state line, and talk a little Valentine's Day in the middle of the week. Thursday, open line pretty much in the morning, and then 9 a.m. Nathan and Julie Gunn next Friday. That's going to do it. Thanks to all of our guests, Josh Birnbaum. We had the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner. We had David Woods with us. Appreciate Ed Bond's help helping me put the show together today. And we'll talk to you next week on A Penny for Your Thoughts. It's 11 o'clock, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana. Have a great week.